This is the Electronic Intifada Newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman, Associate Editor at the Electronic Intifada. It's day 5 of the ceasefire after 471 days of Israel's genocide in Gaza. Here's a brief summary of some of the latest developments this week in Gaza and the occupied West Bank. In Gaza, Israel carried out several attacks on Palestinians despite the ceasefire. On Monday, January 20th, a 15-year-old child, Zakaria Humeid Barbach, was shot and killed by an Israeli sniper as he was returning to his home in Rafah. According to video footage, the sniper then shot a man who attempted to rescue the child. On Wednesday, Israeli naval forces reportedly fired shells onto the beach near Gaza City. The Israeli army also attacked Rafah again, killing one person and injuring several others, according to the Wafa news agency. According to reports, an Israeli quadcopter fired rounds at a group of Palestinians clearing wreckage from their destroyed homes in the Shabura camp. Since the ceasefire was implemented on January 19th in Gaza, Palestinians have been returning to their neighborhoods, while municipal security and civil defense workers have started to restore infrastructure. Meanwhile, more evidence of Israel's 15 months of continuous war crimes are being revealed. Gaza's civil defense agency says that the bodies of about 10,000 Palestinians who were killed in the genocide are yet to be found and given proper burials. Along with the civil defense's medical staff, the head of the agency, Mahmoud Bassal, said that they have so far recovered approximately 200 bodies since the ceasefire began on Sunday. Bassal said that extraction operations have been challenged by the lack of heavy machinery. He added that Israel had destroyed several of their vehicles and killed at least 100 of their staff. The Reuters news agency spoke to a man, Mohammed Abu Dalfa, whose wife and children, quote, were among 35 of his extended family who were killed when an Israeli airstrike hit the building in Gaza City's Shejaiya suburb in December 2023. As bombs continued to fall, only 3 bodies were retrieved. Abu Dalfa told Reuters, quote, my children are still under the rubble. I am trying to get them out. The civil defense came, they tried, but the destruction makes it difficult. We don't have the equipment here to extract martyrs. We need excavators and a lot of technical tools. My wife was killed along with all my 5 children, 3 daughters and 2 sons. I had triplets, he said. The Geneva-based Euromed Human Rights Monitor called on the so-called international community to pressure Israel to, quote, promptly guarantee the unconditional entry of technical teams, forensic specialists, and criminal investigators into the Gaza Strip, along with the required tools. This will help Palestinians in the Strip recover the bodies of victims from beneath debris and in areas where Israeli forces invaded, identify the victims, and provide information about the whereabouts of those who have not been found, Euromed stated. The rights group added that, quote, these actions are essential not only to safeguard families' rights to know the fate of their loved ones and to bury those who have been killed with dignity and respect, but to ensure accountability for the perpetrators of the genocide that Israel has committed in Gaza Strip for 15 months. Euromed says that during the first few days into the ceasefire, their field teams have documented, quote, vast numbers of Palestinian bodies killed by Israeli shelling over the past few months, many of which have almost completely decomposed. The bodies of 79 people, including 21 unidentified individuals, were recovered in Rafah neighborhoods by ambulance and civil defense crews following the withdrawal of Israeli army forces. Their team found severely decomposed remains of additional victims, quote, of whose skulls and a few bones were all that was left. In October 2024, the United Nations estimated that there were approximately 18,000 children who had lost either one or both parents since the genocide began a year before. Earlier this week, the Director General of the Gaza Government Media Office estimated the number to be around 20,000. But the Palestinian Ministry of Health in Gaza released new statistics today, Thursday, revealing that there are more than 38,000 newly orphaned children since the genocide began. Speaking to DropSite News this week, Ismail Al-Tawabta, the Director General of the Gaza Government Media Office, said that more than 40% of families across Gaza are caring for orphaned children. Al-Tawabta said, quote, even before the current Israeli war, there were a staggering number of orphans in Gaza, 33,000 children, as a result of five previous wars since 2008. In a haunting video, journalist Abdelkader Sabah documented the scene around the wreckage of Kamal Adwan Hospital in Beit Lahia in the northern Gaza Strip. On December 27th, as we've reported, Israeli forces laid siege to the hospital and abducted its medical staff and patients, including the director of the hospital, pediatrician Hossam Abu Safiya. Abu Safiya is still in Israeli detention at Ofer Military Prison. Israeli forces had stripped the doctors, patients, their companions, and medical staff of their clothing and marched them to a nearby school that Israel had turned into an interrogation center. Now, nearly 4 weeks later, the clothing and belongings of those people, many of whom are still abducted, remain strewn on the ground. Sabah says, quote, these clothes are a testimony to what the Israeli occupation forces did to the residents of the northern Gaza Strip. On Wednesday, the Palestinian rights group Al-Mizan said that Israeli authorities once again extended the ban prohibiting Dr. Abu Safiya from meeting with his legal representative until February 6th. Quote, we strongly condemn this unlawful decision and urgently demand immediate access for Al-Mizan's lawyer to assess his condition, Al-Mizan stated. The United Nations released a damage assessment report this month that shows that after 15 months of Israel's campaigns of destruction and genocide, more than 50 million tons of rubble will need to be cleared. Released footage of the extent of Israel's destruction across the Gaza Strip is staggering. But workers and staff of the various municipal bodies and security ministries stated over the past few days that they are gearing up to restore, repair, and rebuild. The mayor of Gaza City, Dr. Yahya al-Sarah, who is also the head of the Union of Municipalities in the Gaza Strip, announced the launch of the Phoenix Framework for the Reconstruction of Gaza, which he says is a roadmap aimed at the reconstruction and sustainable development of Gaza after the war of extermination and aggression. The initiative, he said, quote, represents a glimmer of hope and a practical plan aimed at addressing current challenges and combines a rapid response to urgent humanitarian needs with laying the foundations for sustainable reconstruction that enhances Gaza's resilience in the long term. Gaza's Ministry of Interior and National Security released a similar statement on Sunday, announcing that they began deployment of police and security forces in the streets across Gaza, quote, in order to support citizens and provide them with aid, secure public and private property, and deal with the remnants of the occupation that pose a threat to the lives of citizens. Some of those security officers deployed by the Gaza government secured the delivery of more than 2,000 aid trucks entering southern Gaza since the ceasefire. According to the United Nations, 915 aid trucks drove into Gaza on Tuesday. Wednesday saw the delivery of more than 800 trucks, the UN stated, adding that the Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs and its partners are dispatching incoming supplies to designated emergency shelters and distribution centers across the Gaza Strip, distributing food parcels and flour, and working to reopen bakeries. The UN Agency for Palestine Refugees, which the Israeli government is attempting to ban, distributed nearly 120 trucks of more than 53,000 parcels of food to communities sheltering in Khan Yunis and Deir al-Balah. Meanwhile, the UN Agency for Sexual and Reproductive Health said that 20 trucks carrying critical supplies, including for safe births, emergency obstetric care, postpartum kits, contraceptives, and winter items, were offloaded in Deir al-Balah on Tuesday. 20 more trucks carrying similar supplies entered northern Gaza on Wednesday. Reporting from Rafah on Wednesday, Al Jazeera's Tariq Abu Azoum said, quote, over the past few hours, there has been a continuous, smooth flow of humanitarian aid trucks into Gaza. Since the ceasefire began, it's understood that more than 2,400 aid trucks have been allowed to pass into Gaza. The trucks are carrying food, water, aid supplies, and fuel. More are on the way into Gaza right now, Abu Azoum added. They're being secured by Hamas's police, whose presence has helped mitigate looting. The aid supplies are desperately needed to prevent living conditions from deteriorating further. Their entry has led to a big drop in prices in the markets, helping ensure people can receive necessities. As scholar and media critic Asal Rad stated on social media, quote, "It's crazy how much Blinken and other Biden officials lied for months and months, saying Israel wasn't blocking aid and they were doing everything they could to get aid into Gaza." Turning to the occupied West Bank, Israeli forces and their settler foot soldiers have been accelerating their attacks on Palestinians over the past week. Israeli soldiers shot and killed a 14-year-old boy in Sebastia, northwest of Nablus, on January 19th. Defense for Children International Palestine reported that Ahmad Rashid Rushdie Jazar was shot while he and his friends were sitting. Israeli forces concealed and positioned among the trees opened fire on the children from a distance of 650 meters. Ahmad was struck with a bullet in the chest, falling onto the ground and bleeding severely. He was pronounced dead at a local hospital. In Jenin and the Jenin refugee camp in the northern West Bank, Israeli forces have killed at least 10 Palestinians and wounded 40 since the military launched a new raid on Tuesday. The raid appears to be in coordination with the Palestinian Authority, the PA. Following a 48-day siege on Jenin and the Jenin refugee camp by the Palestinian Authority, in which the U.S.-backed PA forces besieged the city, shot at unarmed civilians, and killed residents in an attempt to undermine the Palestinian armed resistance group's defenses against Israel, the PA forces joined the Israeli military in a raid on the Al-Razi hospital on Wednesday, according to a report by Faiha Shalash writing in Middle East Eye. Shalash added that PA forces arrested a wounded man inside the hospital who was accused of being a member of the Jenin battalion and was wanted by the Israeli army. Quote, "The PA raid appeared to be the first time Palestinian forces publicly participated in an Israeli military assault in the West Bank," Shalash reported. The Hamas political party condemned the Palestinian Authority's raid on the Al-Razi hospital, saying that it was a move that, quote, "crosses all red lines and national ethics." Hamas called on all factions and national and community figures in the West Bank to come out with all their strength in order to put an end to the serious violations of the authority and to confront the occupation's aggression and targeting of the resistance fighters in Jenin by escalating the clashes at all points of contact and at military checkpoints and settlements in the West Bank. Palestinian Islamic Jihad also condemned the PA, saying that, quote, "We hold the authority in Ramallah and its security services responsible for participating and colluding in this aggression after they provided Israel with assistance in imposing a siege on the Jenin camp." Israeli military bulldozers and other vehicles destroyed vital infrastructure in the streets of Jenin as part of the raid. On Tuesday, three Palestinian doctors and two nurses were injured by Israeli fire in Jenin, according to the Wafa news agency. Also on Tuesday, Israeli forces shot and killed another teenage boy, 16-year-old Motaz Imad Musa Abu Tabih, during the attack on Jenin. Ayad Abu Aktesh, the Accountability Program Director at Defense for Children International Palestine, said, quote, "As a fragile ceasefire takes hold in Gaza, the Israeli military now turns its attention to Jenin, whose residents have been targeted with lethal force again and again. Palestinian children are still not safe as Israeli forces continue to target Palestinian childhood with impunity." Israeli forces have killed seven Palestinian children in the occupied West Bank since the beginning of January, according to documentation collected by DCIP. Four children were killed by Israeli drone strikes, and three children were shot and killed with live ammunition. Nearly 2,000 families in Jenin and the refugee camp have been displaced over the last month due to the concurrent sieges by the PA and Israel. Meanwhile, the Israeli military has been scaling up its arrests and abductions of Palestinians in the West Bank and raiding homes of prisoners who are scheduled to be released starting this coming weekend in the first phase of the prisoner swap under the terms of the Gaza ceasefire. Israeli forces abducted dozens of Palestinians in the town of Azum in the northern West Bank on Monday. Al Jazeera reported that Israeli forces also stormed the town of Deir Samit, west of Hebron, raiding homes of prisoners. The military also stormed the Aida camp in Bethlehem, launching a wide-scale arrest campaign. The Palestinian news agency Wafa reported on Wednesday that Israeli forces tightened security for the third consecutive day at most entrances and exits of the governorates in the West Bank. Israeli settlers carried out several attacks across the occupied West Bank this week, including setting fire to homes and shops in towns west of Qalqilya. The Palestinian Red Crescent reports that at least 12 people were injured. The United Nations stated that there has been a surge in access restrictions and attacks in the wake of the establishment of new settler colonial outposts. Last week, Israeli settlers carried out multiple attacks across the Nablus governorate, targeting homes and other properties in Huwara, Kusra, Madama, and Burin villages. In Huwara, settlers injured four Palestinians and damaged a commercial shop by stone throwing, and in Burin, settlers set fire to a Palestinian-owned vehicle and an under-construction livelihood structure, the UN stated. The Israeli human rights group B'Tselem reported that settlers backed by the Israeli army threw Molotov cocktails and rioted, injuring six Palestinians in the town of Sinjil. On Wednesday, Wafa news agency reported that five Palestinians were injured in settler attacks in Masafer Yatta, south of Hebron. An activist told Wafa that dozens of Israeli settlers attacked residents in Masafer Yatta, assaulted them, and sprayed tear gas in their faces, which led to the injury of an elderly man. We've published many features on the Electronic Intifada in the last week, but we wanted to highlight excerpts of Detention Without Charge of Palestinian Children Hits Record Level by Faiha Shalash on the detention of Palestinian children in the West Bank. In her piece, Faiha highlights several children who were abducted and imprisoned under administrative detention, jailed without charges or trial, a draconian practice that Defense for Children International Palestine says has reached a record level over recent months. Faiha writes that Laith Kamel, 17 years old, was arrested by Israeli forces in November 2023. The Israelis destroyed his family's furniture as they stormed their home. Both Laith and his friend Ahmed Asaf were beaten by Israeli soldiers and arrested. According to Laith's uncle Mujahid, the Palestinian Authority, which carries out security coordination with Israel, had called Laith into questioning before he was arrested. The PA had pressured him into signing a pledge that he would not confront Israel's forces of occupation. 2 days later, Israel arrested him. Laith is being held under administrative detention in Israel's Megiddo prison. A lawyer has only been permitted to visit him there once. The lack of information about Laith is adding to his family's anguish. Quote, "We don't know anything about him," said Mujahid, his uncle, "except that he is in the section for children in Megiddo prison." That's an excerpt from Faiha Shalash's article, Detention Without Charge of Palestinian Children Hits Record Level, on electronicintifada.net. And finally, as we always do, we wanted to share images of people expressing determination and resilience in the aftermath of Israel's 15-month campaign of destruction in Gaza. This photo of Palestinians laying out the measurements for a home on the ground cleared of rubble was posted by Tamer Nahid in Gaza, with the caption, "We will rebuild it." Journalist Yusuf Faris took this video of Palestinians returning to Jabalia refugee camp and clearing rubble. Yusuf asked this teenager, Moath, what he's doing. Moath says, quote, "Well, I'm trying to build a tent." Yusuf says, quote, "These are the people of the camp, a beehive. People are starting to return. While it's true the situation is difficult and tragic, this all says and indicates one thing. It shows the Palestinians' relationship with the land that is soaked with the blood of their sons. It turns into a cipher that the occupation army will never understand. Their plan, all this destruction, indicates that there was a premeditated expulsion plan. but they truly don't understand who we are and what our relationship with the land that we water with the blood of our sons truly is.
أنا في المخيم وهذا معاد. أعطيك العافية معاد.
الله يحييك.
إيش بتعمل يا كبير؟
والله نحاول نضبط نعمل خيم.
شو؟
نعمل خيم.
الله يعطيك الصحة يا معاد. شد شد شو؟ الله يعطيك العافية.
محطوط مش حطيناها.
And finally, the Samir Project, a mutual aid organization in Gaza, posted this video of Palestinians singing and playing traditional folk songs. The Samir Project says, quote, Palestinian folk songs traditionally tell stories of fishing, harvesting olive trees, of culture, and of everyday life. They also tell stories of resistance and fighting for freedom, since these two have been intrinsically part of the Palestinian identity over the span of 76 years of occupation. Listen to the joy and hope echoed in the voices of the men singing loudly, chanting about their homeland. Despite the pain and suffering of the past 15 months plus, Palestinians in Gaza remain steadfast and celebrate the stop to the aggression and bombardments and continue to be hopeful for liberation. That's it for the news roundup. As always, go to electronicintifada.net for much more, especially to read our new features by our brave writers in Gaza. You've been listening to the Electronic Intifada's newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman. Want to hear more? Check out our live stream with interviews, reports, and analysis, along with print articles, podcasts, and more at electronicintifada.net. Produced by Nora Barrows-Friedman, Tamara Nassar, and Pierre Loisel.